Come on, Skip.
Mario takes him by the arm.
We should clean you up before you go see your lady. You have a limited amount to work with at the best of times.
Make way for the champ,
cries Jeff, clearing a path to the tower. And, 10 minutes later, hair tamed, teeth brushed, irremediably shredded school jumper exchanged for a clean hoodie, Skippy's leaving it again, pedaling Niall's bike uphill towards the gate. The rain has cleared, and the clouds given way to a sunset that blushes deep and fiery. Lush pinks and warm reds piled on top of each other in a breathy, rushed jumble, like a heart in love. And as he weaves out weightlessly into the traffic, leaving their final words of advice,
full hardcore sex,
just don't puke on her,
to disappear into the evening, the euphoria blossoms inside him at last, and with every yard travelled, continues star-like to grow. The grave canopies of the trees overhead merge with the incoming dusk. The dual carriageway whooshes by him, its tall street lamps seeming to sing through the twilight. The chain and wheels hum at its feet. The chocolates swing from their bag on the handlebars as he turns down her road, past the old stone houses with their ivy veils, to arrive at her gates. And there, at the end of the driveway, just as he imagined it, she is, in the lamplight, on the doorstep, laughing, like he's just told the greatest joke in the world. In the beginning, he has to keep pinching himself to remind himself this is actually happening. It seems unreal, like one of those Kinder ads where everyone's been dubbed into another language.
You're here,
she exclaims, holding her arms out to him. Her eye catches on the bruise on his temple as she leans in to kiss him, but she doesn't say anything about it.
My parents are dying to meet you,
she says instead, and taking his hand, she leads him inside. They go down a hall full of paintings to an airy kitchen with a huge domed skylight, where a tall, slightly fierce-looking woman in a black dress is chopping courgettes. Skippy wipes his palms on his trousers, ready to shake hands. But Laurie breezes right by her, through a glass door.
Hey, Mom, look who's here.
The woman stretched out on the divan is the image of Laurie. The same magnetic green eyes. The same carbon-black hair.
Oh, my goodness.
She lays down her magazine and swings her bare feet onto the tiles.
So this is the boy. This is the famous...
Daniel,
Laurie says.
Daniel,
Laurie's mum repeats.
Well, you're very welcome to our home, Daniel.
Thank you for having me, Skippy mumbles, and then remembering, I brought some chocolates. He hands Laurie the box, which in the cathedral-like conservatory looks downright microscopic. Nevertheless, both women make exactly the same, oh, sound.
He's adorable,
Laurie's mum pronounces, skating her fingertips over Skippy's cheeks.
Can we have some OJ?
Laurie asks.
Of course, sweetie,
her mum says, and calls through the door to the other woman.
Lilia, fetch the kids some juice, would you?
Then kneels down on the floor in front of Skippy, so her perfume swims up his nose, and it becomes nearly impossible not to look down her top.
It's nice to finally meet you,
she says in a fake whisper.
I knew there had to be a boy on the scene, though Laurie deny it till the cows came home.
Mom!
Laurie groans.
You may find it hard to believe, young lady, but I was actually a girl myself once. I know the tricks.
Mom, go and do some Pilates or something,
Laurie pleads, moving towards the kitchen.
All right, all right.
She resists her daughter for long enough to fix Skippy with an appraising eye and declare again,
Oh, he's just too adorable,
before disappearing, laughing, back to her divan.
Sorry, I should have warned you. My mom is like the world's biggest flirt.
She reaches for one of two glasses of Sunny D that have appeared on the counter, along with a big plate of chocolate chip cookies, and shines Skippy a lighthouse beam smile.
Come on, I'll give you the tour.
The house is endless. Every room gives way to another even bigger. Each one an Aladdin's cave of screens and sculptures and stereo equipment. Following after Laurie, half listening to her chatter, Skippy feels happy but strange, like a shadow that's won some competition and been invited for one day to be an actual person and not just a fuzzy shape on the ground.
And this is my room.
He snaps out of his reverie. Holy shit, it's true. They're in her bedroom. The walls are pink and covered with girl-type posters. Two horses nuzzling each other. The Sad Sam dog. A boy cherub stealing a kiss from a girl cherub. Bethany, in an almost but not completely see-through swimsuit. And again, in a picture cut out of a magazine, hand in hand with her boyfriend, the guy from Four to the Floor. On the dresser is a photograph of Laurie, the beautiful mother, and a man who must be Laurie's dad. Kind of like if G.I. Joe was made of wood and wore a suit. The three of them looking so perfect together. Like the example picture that comes with the frame.
Let's watch TV,
she says. There's a television in here, but she's already going down the stairs to one of the living rooms, where she sits on the sofa about 2 feet away from him. The cat cradled in her lap, and her pop-socked feet dug comfortably under a cushion. The Simpsons is on. Skippy wonders if he was supposed to have kissed her upstairs. She didn't act like she was expecting him to, so should he kiss her now? She does seem quite interested in the program. Bollocks. Maybe it's not a date. Maybe they are friends.
So, are you still swimming?
She asks him during the ad break. He tells her about the swim meet coming up this weekend.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah, he says, nodding. Hit by runaway hot dog cart. Trip over cat. Catch chicken pox. Water shortage leads to all pools empty everywhere. It's the semi-finals.
Cool.
She scratches her nose thoughtfully.
So you didn't quit?
Quit?
Yeah. When I was talking to you the night of the dance, you said you wanted to quit it.
Oh, when I was talking to you the night of the dance? Well, it's quite hard work, I suppose. Like, we have to get up at 6:30 to train and stuff. So it's hard work, that's what I meant.
You told me you hated it,
she says. I hated it. She nods, her eyes fixed on his. Yeah, he says vaguely. Yeah, sometimes I feel a bit like that.
Why would you do something you hate?
Well, I suppose my parents are excited about it, so...
They don't want you to do something you hate, do they?
No, but... The game! Even here? It rises up monolithic, out of the floor, like a staring tombstone. Caught in its shadow, he trails off. Sitting there dumbly, miserably, wishing she'd stop looking at him. Then the door opens and the tall man from the photograph comes in.
Daddy!
Laurie cries and leaps up from the couch.
There's my princess.
The man puts down his shopping bags so he can lift her up and swing her.
And who do we have here?
He says, looking at Skippy scrunched up on the couch.
This is my friend Daniel,
Laurie says.
Aha, so this is the man who's been keeping you out till all hours,
her dad says.
Well, well. Gavin, wake him.
He lopes round to crush Skippy's hand in his and peer at him interrogatively.
Daniel's in Seabrook,
Laurie tells her dad.
Is he?
The man brightens at this.
I'm an old blue and gold myself. Class of 82. Tell me, Daniel, how's Des Furlong? He back yet?
No, he's still sick. Skippy says. Mr. Costigan is in charge.
Greg Costigan? I was in school with that bastard. What do you make of him, Daniel? Talks a lot of shite, doesn't he? Actually, tell him I said that, will you? Tell him Gavin Wakeham says he talks a lot of shite. Will you do that for me?
His big face looks down at Skippy avariciously, like a hungry monster that has discovered a plate of bonbons. Skippy doesn't know what to say.
Good man, he's true to his school.
Laurie's dad guffaws, slapping his back.
Matter of fact, Greg is a good friend of mine. Still see him for the odd pint up at the rugby club. You play yourself, Dan?
Daniel's on the swimming team,
Laurie says, snuggled under his arm.
They've got a big race coming up. They're in the semi-finals.
Is that so? And who's coaching you? It's not still Brother Connolly, is it? Brother Fondleme, we used to call him.
Mr. Roach does it now, Skippy says.
Ah, yes, Tom Roach, of course. Tragic story, you know it.
Yes, Skippy says. But Laurie's dad starts telling him anyway.
Probably the best winger of his generation. Could have walked onto the international team. Walked onto it, if it wasn't for what happened. And now I hear the other fellow's back in Seabrook, too. The one who let him take the drop for him. What's his name again?
Daddy, what did you buy?
Laurie tugs at his elbow. Gazing into her upturned face, he brightens again.
Just some bits and pieces for the gym.
More stuff for the gym.
Just a couple of things.
Mom's going to kill you.
Uh-huh.
Smugly.
Not so, because I've already taken care of that.
He draws a smaller bag out of the larger and shakes it at her.
And what about me?
What about you?
It wouldn't be fair if everyone got something except me.
Well, I'm sorry in that case.
Let me look in the bag.
I think not.
Let me look, Daddy.
She lunges for the bag. He hoists it out of her reach, matador style, and Skippy takes a step backwards as the two of them become one giggling, wrestling mess. The woman from the kitchen appears in the doorway. She pauses there a moment, shooting a brief, expressionless glance at Skippy on the far side of the tussling couple. Then, in a vampiric monotone, she announces,
"Dinner is served."
Laurie's dad and Laurie split, gasping and emitting little leftover fragments of laughter.
Okay, Lilia, thank you,
her dad says.
There, you little madam, though you don't deserve it.
He tosses Laurie a shopping bag with a pair of lips on the side, and she lights up as she takes out a plastic case.
Oh, thank you, Daddy.
Without makeup, she looks like the back end of a bus.
Her dad winks at Skippy, and then sternly to Laurie.
But you can only wear it on special occasions, when your mum and I say you can, okay?
Yes, Daddy.
She nods earnestly, taking his hand and trotting alongside him into the dining room, with Skippy following behind. They sit down at the table while the black-clad woman silently lays plates before them.
Isn't this nice?
Laurie's mum says.
I can't think of the last time we all sat down for a meal together.
Daddy's always working,
Laurie tells Skippy.
Someone has to pay for all this, don't they?
Laurie's dad says, through a mouthful of food.
You girls seem to think it just drops out of the sky.
Laurie and her mum make identical eye-rolling motions.
So what kind of racket's your dad in, Daniel?
Pardon?
Your dad, what does he do?
Oh, he's an engineer.
How about your mum? Is she working too?
Across the table, his tanned arms flex as he saws into his chop. She's a Montessori teacher. Well, not right now, but...
That's great. And how are you enjoying school?
It's okay, Skippy says.
Daniel's one of the smartest boys in his year.
Good for you. So what kind of career do you see yourself in, Daniel?
Laurie's mum, laughing, lays down her fork with a clink on the plate.
Gavin! Give the boy a chance to eat his food.
What do you mean? We're simply having a conversation, that's all.
You're interrogating him. In a minute he'll start burning your feet with cigarettes.
Laurie's mum twinkles at Skippy.
I'm simply trying to find out a little bit about him.
Laurie's dad rejoins.
God forbid I should want to try and find out a little bit about the boy my daughter's been out roaming the streets with for the last month.
I wasn't roaming the streets.
Laurie says, flushing.
Well, you weren't watching Buffy at Janine's, were you?
Wait a second. What?
Leave her alone, Gavin.
Her mum reproves.
I just think it'd be nice to have some idea what your own child...
We've been through all this. Oh, now look.
Laurie's head is bowed and jerks with sobs.